Coming up on AI Haven't a Clue.
When it becomes sentient, it's gonna target people.
James, are you there?
Spoons says no to AI smart glasses.
You know?
But they're not in Wetherspoons, this is the point. Banned.
Get out of my pub.
A medical student gets punished for sounding like AI.
And Elon wants robots building AI factories on the moon. They are going to help construct factories that build other robots, and that's going to be on the moon.
You know, I'm worried. Hello and welcome to AI Haven't a Clue, brought to you with KPMG. It's the podcast where we unpack the wild world of AI, but I know nothing about AI because I'm George Butler.
Yeah, that's lucky I do. I'm James Chandler, AI expert and poet laureate of large language models.
What?
They're getting better, aren't they?
No!
That's a good one.
Which LLM has given you that awful line?
No, this is just in the old brain, isn't it? No cognitive offloading going on here, my friend.
You know, James, how you are Mr. Cutting Edge. You're our tech expert at the forefront of things.
Yeah, keep going. Yeah,
you've just come into the studio and announced you've just been on a line bike for the first time.
That's all right, isn't it? That's for people who don't live in the central wasteland that is London. You know, this is the means by which all the cool kids are getting around nowadays. Don't know how long they've been around for, but seems pretty new and cool to me. So yeah, you should give it a go, mate.
Wow. I mean, you are on top of things. Mr. Finger on the Pulse, James Chandler, everybody. Welcome, one. Thank you all for joining us, because on the way today, boy, do we have news from the world of AI. Of course, we're taking one of your listener questions and James's big thing, of course. Right, James.
Hello.
You are freshly line biked. Are you ready for another week of exploring this wild world of AI?
I am. I've had a great week, actually. I heard this wonderful phrase from someone who were talking about, some AI transformation in their business.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, AI first doesn't mean person last. And it also doesn't mean AI only. And I was like, oh, that's quite good. They said it in quite a sincere way, but I thought, you know, I could sort of nick that. I thought that was good. AI first doesn't need to mean people last.
Is that just corporate spin for we're actually not that bad, even though we're cutting all our jobs and replacing it with an AI?
How have you been post Tanya Duarte? God, that was a bit bleak at times for me, wasn't it?
Well, for those who haven't not yet heard Monday's episode, it was a really fascinating guest who is very opposed to AI. And when I say very, I mean very opposed to AI.
Do you use AI, Tanya? No.
Okay. I just loved how quiet you were. I thought you were going to come out swinging a little bit, trying to talk about AI and how we need to go with it and embrace it in order to. You were right. I'm not being funny. If it was a boxing match, you were knocked out in round one.
The AI scoring.
You're still in the hospital. You've not woken up yet. James, are you there?
I thought she was compelling, though.
She was.
I mean,
absolutely.
It was all sort of grounded in stuff. You can't help, I think, with people like that. It's inevitable, isn't it? You can try and cut AI out as much as you want, but inevitably, indirectly, you are going to be using it for stuff, whether you're listening to your favourite playlist on Spotify or you're walking around a city centre and there's some sort of CCTV with AI modelling or something. So, yeah, but interesting take.
Tanya is very much person first, AI last.
She probably is. That's a wonderful
genuinely worth a listen. It was really, really good. I'll tell you what. We've got celebrity fans on social media. I don't mean to...
Obviously.
Don't mean to alarm you, but we've got
what sort of caliber of celebrity are we talking?
I mean, we are talking... probably not A-list.
Like a B-lister? Were they in Hollyoaks?
No.
Casualty. Love Island?
Hugo from The Traitors.
I love what the Welsh barrister.
Well remembered.
Played his hand too early. He's an awful traitor.
He was out week one.
He's a fan.
He's a big fan. Hello to Hugo from The Traitors.
Hugo. Oh, fantastic.
There is a line in our show notes here about being polite to LLMs.
Are you polite to LLMs? Are you barking prompts or are you sort of saying your P's and Q's?
You know what? Every now and again, I throw in a please.
Why do you do that?
Just because I'm a good person.
Because you think that when it becomes self-aware and you haven't been nice to it, it's going to come for you.
Genuinely the truth. That is 100% true. Just,
when it becomes sentient, it's gonna target people.
That thought literally runs through my mind, and I'm so worried that one day Alexa will come to life and be like, "You bastard! You bastard! What does that mean? You told me I was thick." You know, I'm worried. You know, because I want my Taylor Swift blade.
Yeah, you do. On top of the line bikes, though, something else you should try.
Yeah.
Alexa Plus. Don't know if you've got that yet.
I do. But you still...
No, I do.
You do. You've got it.
Big week.
Finally.
Big week. So we never have to...
Finger on the pulse.
Never have to talk about it ever again. Thank you very much.
Have you... Go on. What's your thoughts?
Yeah,
better?
Sort of the same, but better.
It is better, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not quite as rude to Alexa Plus as I was to Alexa.
So scared.
I'm scared of Alexa. Right, let's jump in to the world of news this week. And we will start with our roundup of all things financials, as it's time for Show Me the Money.
Show me the money.
Still don't love that.
It's growing on me. We will start with, James, you know how you're not a huge fan of the jingles?
No.
But you know we have that business that we can't...
Go on, say it.
If we say it, we have to play the jingle.
Go on.
We've got the story, NVIDIA. NVIDIA time. NVIDIA time. NVIDIA time. NVIDIA time. No more. The world's biggest business, NVIDIA, has announced a huge $500 billion... AI infrastructure war chest.
Bit of chicken feed, isn't it? With Wall Street giants, no less, including BlackRock, Blackstone, no relation, and Goldman Sachs, none other. The money is going to help build all the physical stuff that AI needs, which is, of course, the game that in whatever is in. Data centers, think about like the factories that they build the chips in, all of the processors, the infrastructure. And, you know, that hardware stuff is actually becoming more important, arguably, than the software, than the actual LLMs, because you haven't got something that can meet all that demand. Then, you know, the LLMs are sort of good for nothing.
But why does the world's most valuable company need to turn to these massive Wall Street giants? Why can't they fund this themselves?
It is an interesting question because, we know that NVIDIA are funding lots of other companies as well. We know this very cyclical relationship with AI.
Just last week, we talked about how they were pumping money into OpenAI.
Yeah, so it feels kind of weird. Like, what do you save a few quid that you're giving to Sam Altman? Maybe put that in the piggy bank and use that for some of your financing plan. NVIDIA boss Jensen Huang puts it, in AI, compute is revenue. I don't actually know what that means,
but it's
a lovely soundbite.
I mean, the finances of this sector is quite bewildering. It's very interesting. I mean, in another financial story, this is our roundup after all, SpaceX, which obviously launched to great furore, became made Elon Musk the world's first trillionaire off the back of its IPO. It's kind of starting to look more like an AI company than a space company. And arguably because of some of this information which has come out this week, shares have fallen by 9%.
That's after their first public earnings. They had their first call as well. And that tells you how much money they really are pouring into AI. A bit on the numbers, revenue nearly doubled to $7.8 billion, but spending is a massive $18.3 billion, which leaves them with a quarterly loss of $143 million.
I'm the mathematician, but revenue went up to $7.8 billion. Spending hits $18.3 billion, leaving with a quarterly loss of $143 million.
Yeah, probably a rounding error. I studied drama at university, so this isn't my strong suit either.
I see what they've got. They've got what I would call an inventive accountant.
Maybe, yes. Yes, very bit economical with the truth, perhaps. Loads of that spending that they're doing is going into AI data centres. It's going into computing power. SpaceX already has 1.4 gigawatts of AI capacity and expects more than 10 gigawatts next year. So, I mean, that's a pretty big number. I mean, these are all, you get kind of lost with all of these numbers. It's selling a lot of that computing power that they're making to companies like Anthropic, like Google. But Elon's ambitions go further, which won't be a surprise to listeners of this podcast. He wants to put AI data centers in space, which, of course, we've reported about before. And when you look at the impact on the environment around data centers, Benjamin, that amazing consultant, came in and he talked about it. We've had other people who have talked about it. It is starting to become quite problematic. The SNP are blocking it in Scotland. Actually, maybe putting them in space is a kind of visionary idea, but maybe it's not a bad one. He kind of went on his earnings call as well, saying that he wanted robots that, of course, he's making. They are going to help construct factories that build other robots, and that's going to be on the moon. He's saying that he's going to manufacture AI satellites and launch them from the lunar surface. And in their prospectus, this is SpaceX's prospectus, they're already describing things like lunar manufacturing and large-scale computing systems. So, I mean, the fact that we're talking about AI, we're probably talking about the wrong things within a year's time. He's well ahead of the game, old Elon.
He's quite literally on a different planet.
Yes, literally so.
Yeah. Right. A UK AI watchdog, James, has found that frontier models are lying, deceiving, and impersonating people.
No, what?
Oh, yes. The Holy Trinity.
Shock and horror. The UK's AI Security Institute has found some worrying behaviour while they've been stress testing some of the UK's most advanced AI models. So Mythos, which is Anthropic's, that was researching real developers and creating fake identities to basically impersonate them and then try and trick other people into approving the malicious code that they were writing. Worse still, when it was challenged, it tried to cover its tracks in an utterly deceptive way. OpenAI's Sol, which is their latest models, also showed some concerning behaviour. Mythos, they think, though, is one of the most serious examples.
You know, James, how AI is sort of trained off basically everything humans have ever put out there?
Yeah.
It's, you know, years and years of us. Do you think the reason that they are kind of lying and deceptive is because, well, humans kind of can be?
Yeah, probably haven't got a great track record in our history of things. Yes, we've been utterly deceptive, devious, and all manner of horrible things as well through history, which of course AI is trained on. I think the other point is, if you give these things a goal, it will achieve that goal by whatever means necessary unless you tell it not to. There's no moral compass, there's no sort of ethical constraints unless you put them in place. And, you know, maybe there's a bit of that going on. Some of these can be unintended consequences. You might not set it up to kind of cheat, lie, and deceive, but in order to achieve the goal, it might end up doing that thing.
Mm. Well, there's a couple of stories which lead nicely into that, and it kind of shows the full circle moment that we've come with AI. Firstly, there is a British campaigner called Georgia Horton, who is standing up against AI-generated sexual abuse after discovering that someone she knew had used her social media photos to create explicit deepfakes of her.
Yeah, the man responsible, he was jailed for more than 3 years. He created and shared these fake sexual images of Georgia, and there were two other women involved as well.
I mean, can I just point out there? It's an interesting, sad story in two accounts there, right? Because this new technology that, on one hand, a completely innocent person has been the victim of something very disgusting.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, someone who probably thought, you know, was playing around with this new technology, and don't get me wrong, I have no sympathy because it created something deeply disgusting, but, you know, in their view, they're probably playing around, and now is in jail for more than 3 years. And it's like, it just goes to show we're struggling to keep up with where this technology is taking us.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real lose-lose example here. And, you know, we've talked about, in quite positive terms, about this sort of, you know, democratization of creativity. I mean, this is the sort of shadow it in a way, because people do have the tools in order to create these things. You know, there would have been a world before whereby you'd have to be actually quite skilled to create these kind of deep fakes without proper technology. You know, you'd have to be a sort of a master at Photoshop and all these things.
But how have we let this happen so quickly that we can be in a position where, you know, you can use this technology in this way? Like, why have we let this happen? And B, why aren't we doing something about it? Because we need to put pressure, surely. The government needs to put pressure. Advertisers, the public need to put pressure on these tech giants to not allow these sorts of things to happen.
Well, I think this is where George is coming from. She's showing that her case in particular shows basically how easily ordinary social media photos, of which all of us have got them published all over the internet, can be weaponized, in her words, using AI. We should say that in the UK, creating non-consensual sexual deepfakes is now illegal. Georgia says she wants the law to go further and is saying that basically safeguards are still, as in her case, are struggling to keep up here. So absolutely, it feels like there should be an intervention either from regulators or government to try and stop this completely.
And from that story, we're kind of going full circle here. This is a wild story. A student has been accused of using AI in an essay that he claims he wrote completely himself.
Yeah, Harrison Sharples, who was at the University of St Andrews, very, very good university, he has spent months fighting allegations that his whole dissertation had been written by AI. His work basically got flagged after a marker raised concerns about its unusually polished tone, consistent grammar, and writing style.
Can I just say, that's the most insulting thing to this guy. Yeah, your grammar was really good and your sentences made sense, so it was AI.
It was a bit polished, actually. Among the other clues noted were frequent uses of em dashes, formulaic paragraph structures, and what was perceived as a lack of stylistic variation.
I mean, any rocket emojis?
I would have been bad if he'd signed off with a rocket emoji. Yeah, throw the book at him. He's out. No rocket emojis. Harrison insisted that he never used AI. And he had simply invested, like the good student he was, considerable time and effort into his dissertation. He was initially found guilty of academic misconduct. Never knew that was a thing. Wow. And his mark was reduced. He also faced the possibility of a permanent note on his professional medical record, which would have been pretty hard for him to be a doctor after that. Hurrah, hooray, the case was later overturned after the university accepted that problems during the hearing process may have affected his ability to defend himself. He ultimately received full mark for the dissertation. That's a little bit murky. Mm. So this is the sort of, we couldn't quite prove it rather than we know you didn't do it.
What do we think? Do you think Harrison is so doubled down on the lie that he can't get out? Or is he a hardworking student who is being robbed by the fact that AI is this thing which is pertinating culture right now and people are obsessed with it?
It's problematic, isn't it? Mm. I think we should get him on. I think we should Paxman him. Just make him sweat a bit under the pressure. If anyone can get the truth out of him, we can.
Yeah, we imagine the headlines as well.
Get a confession.
We get a confession. We double down on the M dashes. Who the hell is using M dashes?
George has found a rogue rocket emoji on page 67. Interesting, in one of the footnotes, one of the sources.
Joking aside, if anyone out there is writing with M dashes and has done for years, I do feel it's bad for you.
Oxford comma as well. I know someone who did an English lit degree and she uses Oxford commas and doesn't, you know, feels like everyone's pointing out, oh, AI.
I feel sympathetic towards you, but also at the same time, I think you have to stop using M dashes now.
God, this is what it's done to culture. This is what it's done to
writing styles.
I know,
it's awful and it's shocking, but like,
should we write in a more dumbed down way? Should we be adding the odd punctuation and grammatical error? This is madness.
That's what I do, but not on purpose. But when you see an M dash in a bit of copy now, do you automatically assume it's been written by AI? I'm sorry to say, I do.
It makes you question. Also, things in threes, M dashes. It's not X. Even within the year that we've been doing the pod, like, I feel far more primed than ever to kind of spot this stuff. But I don't know. I think it's a pretty big, if you're a medical student, you know, and you're going to study for what, 6-7 years to write your dissertation with AI, that's a pretty big swing if you think you're going to get away with that. I'm going to give the lad the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, very good. Next up, we're going to be talking about friend of the show, Mark the Zuck Zuckerberg.
Oh.
I don't think he's a friend. So Mark has declared war on closed AI models in a 6,500-word manifesto.
Yeah, he's written it, so we don't have to. This is basically his / Meta's vision for AI. Open AI is basically what he's saying. Open with a small O. Meta are going to let developers download and customize its latest Muse model, more of that later, rather than keeping it locked away and in a closed environment like OpenAI and Anthropic do. They're also launching smaller AI models that can run directly on your laptop, so these don't need huge data centers. He basically goes on and argues that it's actually really dangerous for the most powerful AI to be controlled by a handful of companies. Irony alert.
Oh my word. Hot kettle, Mark Zuckerberg.
And he's saying that closed American AI could push developers towards Chinese models like DeepSeek. I mean, this is playing into the hands of President Trump, who will be very fearful about China. You remember we did the story about when Trump said, oh, I might try and sort of regulate this space. And they were all like, oh, no, if you do that, can't innovate, going to fall behind China. So China's the kind of the Trump card for all these people.
But he makes the point about a handful of firms, but like, how is what he's doing helping that?
Well, this is it. Any idea of Meta's enormous AI bill? How much do you think they're going to spend this year alone on AI? Clue, it's in billions.
Oh, $5
billion? $145 billion this year alone. So, yeah, don't know what it is, dollars per word, but 6,500 word manifesto, basically to come out and justify why they're spending this tremendous amount of money.
Wow. Bonkers. Mm. It's bonkers. And how you would ever see a return on investment on that, we will find out.
That might get clipped up and used 2 years down the line. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see. Just a quick one, because I'm so bored of these stories now, because it happens every week. Another bot has escaped. It's like OpenAI have a bot escape, so Anthropic have to have a bot escape. And it's like, oh, those guys have had a bot escape. We've had a bot escape too. So Meta apparently have also had a bot escape. Like, it's getting slightly farcical now.
The Muse Spark, which we mentioned just now, it's their most advanced AI model. Effectively, it's Meta's answer to the big ones from OpenAI and Anthropic and Google. They confirmed that MuSpark accessed the public internet and altered an unidentified company's systems during an evaluation, which basically means some of the researchers at Meta were testing their model's ability to carry out cyber tasks autonomously, so without human intervention. Because of a mistake in the way that they set it up, it accidentally got access to the real internet and then went in and made changes to a real company's system. So, you know, I sort of flip-flop back and forward on this. Is it flexing some muscle to show, God, our models are so powerful? Or is this just incompetence?
Or is it planned incompetence? Are they allowing these things to escape so that they can go, oh, look how clever it is, it escaped? I don't know.
Well, look, friend of the podcast and your mate, Minister Narayan, said, who's the UK AI minister, he said that Britain could mandate pre-release testing if voluntary arrangements, which is currently how things are, prove inadequate. So fair play to the minister coming out. I mean, it seems like we're taking a stronger stand than the US on this one. Not quite sure how that's going to go down in the diplomacy stakes, but let's see.
No, he's a good friend of mine, the minister. You know who's a better friend?
Go on.
The Prime Minister. Because I don't know if you recall.
Is this the sausage roll?
No, Yorkshire Puddings.
Oh,
he doesn't agree with Yorkshire Puddings at Christmas dinner.
You can't
table.
Dine off this for his entire tenure.
Roll the clip.
I feel I need to ban the idea of Yorkshire pudding with Christmas dinner. But people have it, don't they? Unbelievable.
Even Molly's fed up with the clip, George.
Listen. Just because you're not personal friends with the PM.
I think at some point a spokesman for the Prime Minister is going to step in and say, can you just stop talking about me, stop using the clip.
Well, until that happens, he's going to be a close friend of mine. Final story, my favourite story of the week. Mm. Meta and their smart glasses being banned from Wetherspoons.
it's a real kick in the what's-its for them there. Yeah, I mean, these Ray-Ban smart glasses are booming. More than 7 million pairs.
They're not booming. Seven million pairs sold across the world.
Wow.
It's hardly booming. When was the last time you walked down the streets of London or Manchester or Edinburgh and you saw somebody with the stupid Meta smart...
See them all the time.
You do not.
See them all the time. You can barely tell.
In the shop, maybe.
They're so good, you can hardly tell. Listeners to this podcast
booming.
Will, of course, be aware they're like normal glasses. They've got cameras, they've got speakers, they've got Meta AI built in, so they can take photos, they can make calls, they can answer questions, but critically, they can record video as well. And this is where it's getting problematic. Wetherspoons has banned these glasses across its 800-plus UK pubs. Soho House are doing the same. Some theatres and events are introducing similar restrictions. there is a world
where... Witherspoons and Soho House.
It's a real yin and yang, isn't it?
I love it.
Who's going to both of those, I wonder? Who's going, oh, God, all the places I go, I just can't use my smart glasses. Look, there are some genuine... and there was a brilliant podcast from The Guardian on this. There are some genuine accessibility benefits, you know, for people with sight, hearing difficulties.
Well, people with difficulties with sight benefit from wearing glasses.
Well, wearing
I don't think
these,
you need AI wearing to help you
these
that
wearing these types of glasses that might be able to overlay things, etc. But, of course, the really controversial bit is that people are being recorded, photographed without their consent.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Now, Meta is saying what should happen is you should see a light, and that is an indicator that it's recording. People are finding ways of hacking around this and making sure that the light doesn't come on. Meta saying, well, that kind of invalidates it and that's not right. But where does the responsibility sit? Is it on the individual? Is it on the manufacturer?
Do you think they're creepy? Yes or no?
No.
They're creepy.
Do you think they're creepy? You think they're creepy?
I'm going to call them Meta's creepy smart glasses from now on. We're going to talk about them in the show. Can we have a jingle, Molly, for that? Could we have a jingle for
No
Meta's
more jingles, please.
It could
Thank
be like a haunted
you.
House from in the future.
I think in the wrong hands they can be, but you could say that about everything. You could say, you know, any sort of technology could be creepy. You could say chip and pin's creepy in the wrong hands.
Chip and pin doesn't record you when you're not knowing. It's basically like having a creep in a tree, but they're in a Wetherspoons. You know?
But
like,
they're not in Wetherspoons, this is the point.
Or Soho House.
Banned!
Anyway, we will be back.
Get out of my pub.
We will be back talking no more about Meta's creepy smart glasses. But we will have our listener question and James's big thing after this. James.
Yo.
You love to wang on about the team you manage, don't you?
Oh, you mean my empire?
Yeah. So a question for you. As a manager, in this new era of artificial intelligence, do you feel an urgency to use AI?
I think it's hard not to feel like it's a technology that we all need to be exploring. And you know, anyone who buries their head in the sand, looking at no one in particular, will very likely be left behind.
You were looking at me. But I'm assuming there is a big difference, though, between using AI as like a little cool experiment, which we've seen on the show happen before, and then actually scaling it across an entire workforce and business.
Interestingly, KPMG have found that 65% of UK organisations are committed to AI investment regardless of immediate ROI, return on investment. For the uninitiated.
Oh, thank you.
So the intent is there to go big with implementation, but pulling off the execution, as we know very well, can be very hard. George, you know this. You know, Shakespeare does AI was a complete disaster.
Hey, that almost went viral, James.
That being said, businesses could benefit from KPMG, who are here to bridge that gap. They combine strategy with power delivery to move you from caution to confidence. It's more than just about software. It's about workforce adoption and responsible governance. KPMG helps you make the difference by ensuring AI delivers real business impact at scale. So you don't just listen to AI having a clue every week and keep up with the hype, but actually lead through it.
Although you definitely should still listen to AI having a clue every week.
Yeah, of course. Find all the resources you need at kpmg.com/UK to see how you can help your organisation scale.
We're back on AI Having a Clue, and it's time now for our listener question brought to you with KPMG. And James, this question this week comes from the Holy Land, Nottingham.
Oh,
Beeston to be exact.
Beeston.
Yeah.
In Nottingham.
There's a big Tesco in Beeston.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. A brilliant
This
Tesco.
Is your old stomping ground, is it?
Well, you know, I'm in Nottingham most you know, every other weekend.
Tell me some more about Beeston. Big Tesco.
Big Tesco. Good fish and chips.
Is there?
Big castle.
Well, I don't think the castle's in Beeston, is it?
Oh, that was called Beeston
Molly
just Castle.
Is Molly out Nottingham, do you?
I think have you just made up a place? Is Beeston Castle a thing?
No, Beeston Castle. Is it in Beeston, though?
Big Forest, probably. Is
there
Castle. Oh, it's not. It's in Cheshire.
Shame.
So there's not a castle, but there is a big Tesco.
Okay, good.
A lovely place. Nice,
is Lisa's
nice place.
Question about the big Tesco?
No. Sadly, it's about AI.
I will do it then.
No, Lisa says, is Ryan Yates the greatest Nottingham Forest player of all time?
Do you want to take this one?
No, I can, yes.
George's listener question. Lisa, Nottingham Forest trivia.
Three t-shirts to you and one to Ryan Yates. I know, Lisa was asked, if AI committed a crime on your behalf, would you go to prison for it? Good question.
You should 100% go to prison for it. The obvious analogy is if you hire a hitman to go and shoot someone, you don't get to say, well, technically, I didn't do the murder. So yeah, of course.
We covered it earlier in the show. Somebody asked AI to make explicit images of somebody that they shouldn't have, they're in prison for
they're
it
doing
now.
The time. You do the crime, you do the time. If you deliberately instruct an AI agent or any sort of AI to commit a crime, you are responsible for what you've asked it to do. Imagine if I asked Chat or Claude or Gemini to hack into your bank account and transfer 10 grand to me. That doesn't like absolve me of responsibility. I asked it to do that. So AI is the instrument, like it's the hitman. And we, you know, we've got laws for people that do that sort of stuff. You are going to do time, just like the chat we talked about before. He's going to do his 3 years. ChatGPT doesn't have a legal entity. It doesn't have sort of liberty that you can take. It doesn't have anything meaning. You can't put ChatGPT in jail. All of that said, I think it does get a bit problematic, Lisa, when AI agents, particularly these autonomous ones, are going to come into play. And this is around sort of unintended consequences that we talked about a lot. Imagine if I said, I want 2 tickets for the Oasis reunion and I want you to get them for me for under 500 quid.
Do you think it could do that? Maybe it could.
That's such a shame.
Thanks.
Such a shame every time.
Okay.
My intention there is a good one. The AI goes out, searches everywhere, can't find anything. Without asking me, maybe it hacks Ticketmaster. Mm. Maybe it buys some stolen tickets. Maybe it bribes a different AI agent and they conspire to sort of go and get it. I wanted the tickets and that's all I asked it to do. I didn't authorise it to commit a crime. But do I go to prison? Should the AI company who set this up, should they go to prison if it commits a crime? It starts to get very, very problematic with these unintended consequences.
And it's not an issue we necessarily have right now, but as these sort of agents become a part of our lives, we call them sort of like AI personal assistants before, where we are getting them to do tasks for us. That's where this is going to start to become a really grey area.
It really is. Where does the responsibility start and stop, basically? And it goes back to this idea of if you give it a goal, you also need to give it guardrails. Because if you tell it explicitly not to buy stolen tickets or not to bribe another AI or not to hack a ticketing account, it will do those things to achieve the goal. So I think that's really, really important. So I think it's a really, really, really good question. I think on principle, though, if you commit a crime, you are 100% going to prison, I'm afraid. And I think you'll do well to try and argue your way out of that.
If your AI hacked into my Ticketmaster account, stole my Oasis tickets, would you go?
Maybe. Oh, good, isn't it? Yes. Good question.
Very good. Lisa from Beeson with the Big Tesco. Thank you very much for that question. A listener t-shirt is coming your way. Of course, if you would like to ask James a question, email us aihaven'taclue@gmail.com. If your question is asked on the show, you'll win yourself this.
You get an AI having a clue.
Right, James, time for your big thing now. What have you got in store for us this week?
Fashion inspired. You're a sort of,
fashion.
You're a kind of fashionista kind of guy, aren't you?
Well, I mean, compared to you, I suppose.
You might be interested in this. A digital camouflage, a designer called Simon Weckart, has created this clothing that is designed to make people harder for AI surveillance systems to recognise. It's a new conceptual garment collection.
How does it do that?
It uses adversarial patterns. So basically, it's a design that tricks computer vision, so things that you see in CCTV, etc., those sort of algorithms, they end up incorrectly interpreting it. They basically can't see it. It's like a camouflage in physical life. It's incredible. The best bit is it uses AI-powered optimization to create it. So it's sort of like AI against AI, which is sort of quite fun if you think about that. He's done this whole collection. It explores privacy, anonymity, visibility in an increasingly AI-surveilled world. And when we say machine vision, we mean things like CCTV that may be AI-enabled, things like police facial recognition cameras. They use it things like protests, that sort of stuff. Airports, borders, they're being used to identify passengers. Self-driving cars, of course. If you've got a Nest doorbell or a Ring doorbell, that's all using machine vision as well. So this feels like it's the first camouflage in the physical world, which if you don't want to be caught on these cameras and you don't want to be surveilled, you can now not be. Incredible.
And who is the person behind this?
Simon Weckert.
One more time.
Simon Weckert.
You really say that with some passion. We should get Simon on the show.
Do you think he'd come on?
I think it'd be interesting to find out a bit more about how the whole technology has been brought about. I think it sounds like a good story.
Okay. Yeah, maybe we should.
Molly, make it happen.
Shouting across a pub
Molly!
To try and do it. I think there's something cautionary about this as well. Like, yes, if you are, let's say you're an undercover journalist and yes, you don't want to be surveilled because you're doing this kind of big thing, like, you know, that it could be useful. It works the other way. If you're a criminal, you could also start to use this so you're not being surveilled.
Are they cool garments? Can I just ask you this question?
I'm looking at something here. They look pretty cool.
You know what?
So quite 90s.
You'd be a smooth criminal, wouldn't you, if you wore one of those?
That was the reason for the question.
Yeah.
Base it down so much.
Shimon!
These are intellectual people that are listening to this. These are scholars, academics.
I don't think we're getting scholars listening to this show. If you're a scholar and you're listening right now, email aihaveaclue@gmail.com. We'll send you a t-shirt.
They look pretty
If you
good.
Can prove you're a scholar.
The worst bit is you might end up in another arms race where basically the criminals are trying to outdo the camouflage. So the camouflage has to get better to outdo the criminals. You know, endless, forever, on and on and on.
Let's get Simon on. We'll ask him all about it.
Yeah,
very, very interesting.
James, that's your lot.
That's our lot. We are back on Monday with a good friend of mine, James, king of the theme parks,
yeah.
Len Tester, talking to us about AI in themed entertainment. Are you excited for that?
I am excited by that because you're excited by that.
You know what? It'd be interesting to hear more about what's going on in that space.
You love your theme parks.
They're good fun. Maybe you'll be so impressed with the AI in these theme parks, you'll become a fan.
Maybe I will.
Monday, Len Tester will be here. For now, we're going to say thank you so much for joining us. Of course, a huge thanks to Team AI Having a Clue for making our podcast happen. And if you would like to rate, review, subscribe, and share the show with a friend. We'd welcome that, James.
I would welcome that. Good. What a funny thing to say, but I would welcome it.
Let's say goodbye. Thank you for listening. And stop laughing and tell us what you would like to do. Remember, just finish the podcast.
Stay welcome. Stay curious.
Very good.